Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed, and this particular episode of the Four Center podcast feed is the Clone Wars Report. Oh, wow, that is great. That is like some old-time silent comedy music for the Clone Wars Report. Normally it's drums or horns, but this time we've got like Little Rascals music.
It's a Terrace Nubé kind of day here. We got old-timey piano.
Oh, boy. Two of my favorite words in Star Wars, Terra and Sanube. Very excited to dive into this one. That's the episode we're discussing. It's season 2, episode 11. It is entitled Lightsaber Lost. It is written by Drew Z. Greenberg and directed by Giancarlo Volpe. Very excited to dive into this one. Ken, are you ready for the summary?
I am ready, and I'll tell you right now, you know, as a good broadcaster, Jennifer knows too, and I know. Sometimes you just got to get out of the way. In this episode, I got to get out of the way of your heart.
No. Come into my heart. That's a little bit weird. Anyway, you know what I mean. Share my love of Terra Sanube, please. Here we go. Summary of Lightsaber Lost. Lightsabers! They're hard to hold on to. Jedi Padawan Ahsoka Tano learns this the hard way when she goes on a mission with her master, Anakin Skywalker, to bust an arms dealer in the criminal underworld of Coruscant. While waiting outside a club, a pickpocket snatches Ahsoka's Jedi weapon. Too embarrassed to tell Anakin, Ahsoka confides in Jocasta Nu, who introduces her to an elder Jedi who is an expert on the Coruscant crime world and napping in public spaces. His name is Terra Sanube. Together, young, eager Ahsoka and old, wise Tara embark on a detective adventure through the shadowy underbelly of Coruscant, featuring sketchy Quarrens, an Italian-sounding fish guy, and two deadly femme fatales. It is a thrilling adventure of rooftop chases, Palpatine propaganda, and the moral responsibility of owning a lightsaber. Ultimately, Tara Sanube uses kindness and a hidden saber cane to help Ahsoka recover her blade and learn an important lesson about patience. The end.
Wow. That's wonderful. Again, framed art piece.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your support in my enjoyment of reading and writing these summaries. But I want to get into the episode. I know I bang on about this one a lot. It's one of the ones I was really excited to get into our rewatch. But I'm super excited to hear your overall reaction. Sure. Did you like this one? Did you struggle with it? Did you love it more than you used to? What was your reaction?
I think I appreciate it more than I used to, but I've always kind of loved this one. And I think now, all these years of broadcasting with you here in Force Center, like, yeah, absolutely, your love of Tara Sanube, it can become a fun Force Center bingo joke, but it's palpable and it's real. And so I like this character a lot. And to get to spend time with him now, it was really rewarding. I think this is just a great episode. It's got obviously these strong Kurosawa connections, which is so key to Star Wars at times, a noir style to me. And I just love spending time in Coruscant. I just love going down there and seeing just kind of the real world things in a Star Wars way. And I think that's an underrated part of this episode for me that I just really enjoy. And yeah, Tara Sanube for the win.
Yeah, you just said a lot of words I like and agree with. Yeah, I really love this episode. Part of it is, like you're saying, you know, when we and other broadcasters and I think, you know, other people who are all in on Star Wars have a favorite character, it can become kind of like this a fun jokey thing or a bingo card, you know, and there is that element to Tara Sanube, but I just really love spending time with an older character. Even when I was really young, I gravitated towards the old characters. I think it's partially because older characters in all sorts of different media. I think it's this picture of older characters where they not only have the wisdom, but they are freed from some of the anxieties about being seen a certain way that people have certainly a ton when they're young and then all through their life. So I think when I was young, I was just like, I like old characters because they're always weird. You know, it's even, I think tracked through our discussions of Star Wars when, you know, we have a lot of fun describing, some of the cast of the first season of Mandalorian as grizzled weirdos. You know, it's that feeling of the older people are wise and they can just be who they are, and that Tara Sanube has that in spades, you know.
Yeah,
and this in Star Wars canon was one of the first times that we got to spend time with an elder Jedi, and just the idea that there's an elder Jedi who might still be productive or might just say screw it, I'm taking a nap in the library. You know, it fleshes out the world. You know, it is one of the many parts of the Clone Wars where the promise of the premise of the prequels is fulfilled. You know, when the prequels are coming out, it's like, it's not just Luke Skywalker and Yoda and Obi-Wan. We're going to meet all sorts of different Jedi and learn all about them. And every time that the sort of society of the Jedi is fleshed out, it's really rewarding. Because I think for me, it's one of the things I was always excited about in this era. And Tara Sanube really does that.
You said words that I can't improve upon, but I am connecting to this idea. It might be also why I've always loved old crusty rockers with acoustic guitars looking back at their life just even since I was a kid, and I've grown into that. There's something to it, and it's not just simply the age thing, but there's some freedom in kind of becoming who you are. And I remember when I was in my 20s, one of my old bosses at the time, he was about 43, which I'm older than now by a bit. And I remember he was just telling me, he goes, let me tell you something, Ken. I go, I'm only 4 years into this decade. The 40s have been the best decade of my life because I just know myself in a way I never have. And that never left me. And I was always afraid. 40 is a number I was afraid of and a lot of anxiety over. And then once you get there, it is just a number too. But, and that's a lot of this episode for me is Tara Sanube is just so in tune with who he is. and as part of the theme. But anyways, not to get into real life age. And I love youth too. And I love the next generation and I love passing stuff on, which is part of that episode too. Part of this episode too. So
yeah. Yeah. I think that's another reason that I overall love it. I would love this episode if Terrace Anube was just a fun side character, but this episode is so much about age and youth. Right. And I love that it examines it from, you know, philosophical ways that you were talking about that we're going to talk about more. I feel like it is an actual fist pumping moment of justice for the elderly. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, this is an episode that says almost like, why don't you call your grandparents? Why don't you show them some respect? Yeah. But it also absolutely mines the comedy out of young equals fast, old equals slow. Like it doesn't shy away from having fun with that truth either. And then kind of last big thing for me that you mentioned, noir. I really love that there's often that aesthetic to Coruscant when we go into the lower levels. But this one was also just structured very much like a detective yarn, in particular, Raymond Chandler's Philip Marlowe novels. It really has that vibe of I go from this, you know, low life, and maybe not really a low life. Maybe they're just somebody who's down on their luck and I find out what they need so they can tell me where I need to go next. So I can, you know, just pull apart this web of deceit. And the actual, you know, Raymond Chandler, Philip Marlowe novels are really complex. But this one does follow that structure of they're down in the shadows. They're meeting contacts. There's surprise deaths. There are femme fatales, Ione Marcy in particular, who plays the innocent. It's all very specifically noir, but to me, because I'm a big fan of those books of Raymond Chandler, Philip Marlowe stuff. So I really love that.
It pops. It pops. It's just a fun episode. It really is with so much depth. This is why we're having so much fun on Clones Report, just finding both sides of all this kind of episodes, all these kind of episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's dive into the moral. Moral of this episode is easy isn't always simple. I think that's true of discussing this moral. What do you make out of easy isn't always simple?
I love kind of admitting my little mistakes and foibles along the way and you know, always watch an episode once, maybe while on a treadmill or something like that. And then I come back with a little notepad or whatever and talk about it. So you and I can dive in deep and have a lot of fun. I'm having just a ton of fun doing that because sometimes it just jumps out at you. Everything that's there and every line and every scene. And this one, I thought I was like, oh, this is easy. I got this one. And then I kind of confused myself. I kind of went in this direction of easy isn't always simple, meaning if you take the easy route, it's going to create some problems for you. I think even in the opening, Tom Kane is doing the VO and talk about war creating opportunities for the criminal underworld. And I consider that maybe that's kind of the criminal underworld take an easy pass, and that might lead to troubles for themselves and troubles for others there. And I started going down that path, and that's not necessarily saying that's wrong, but that also – It all vanished. I watched the episode a third time and I was like, no, here's what we got. I think Terrace Anube made all of this look so easy. All of this looks so easy, but it wasn't. It's decades of experience, decades of mastering his skills, emotions, and craft, and leading to kind of what you and I were talking up top about knowing yourself and having the faith to trust it all. It just takes that and it's so easy.
Yeah, it looks easy from the outside. Yeah, I love that take. This is definitely one of those morals that made me do a little double take of like, yeah, no, that sounds wise. Wait, is that wise? Yeah, but I think that general idea absolutely shines through, and I love that you're really connecting it to Terrace Anube's specific actions. For me, I almost take it as, you know, the what looks like a straight line to someone else might be a, you know, a really curvy line, and you're just not perceiving it that way, you know, that looks what Terrace Anube is accomplishing looks easy, but it is not as simple as it is you perceive it to be.
Yeah, he has that great line, but moving slowly one can always see clearly the way ahead, and I think that we'll probably address that a few times here, but that's part of what's going on here to me.
Absolutely. Tara Sanube really does. There's obviously the stated moral here, but Tara Sanube is an elder character who fulfills that classic position of he is old enough to really consider his words. So almost every one of them is a little like, here's a drop of wisdom for you.
Yeah.
Here's a moral that you could write down and consider, Ahsoka, or not. You choose your path. So let's get into it then. Let's get into the big ideas at stake in this episode. You were telling me off air, you've been hinting at it here, that you went on a journey discovering what you think is the heart of this episode. So I would love to hear it.
Yeah, so I started going, like I said, that path of, not that this wasn't necessarily a criminal underworld thing, though it's great, and I love that Sanube, by the way, is just an expert of it and just has that knowledge, and he's just kind of sitting there. And you mentioned, like, to call your grandparents, and look, I would love for older generations to do sometimes maybe a better a job of adapting with changing ways and methods, and I think we all can run up against that. You know, just any phone call from a mom right now is part of that. But I also think don't forget that you know, that it's like Elvis Costello's song Veronica. There's a entire history, entire collection of experiences there, and Sanube represents that as well. So all of this kind of I started from there, and how this to me was. The lesson of patience, research, knowledge, and precision being placed up against rash decisions, premature conclusions, panic-fueled guilt, and maybe anxiety driving your actions. And then I stopped again, Joseph. I just stopped, and I boiled it down to there's a lot of things, but I boiled it down to complete awareness is a big theme. Complete awareness. I quieted my mind. I think I was trying too hard. Not that, again, I haven't touched on anything that maybe I feel is there, but that's where I ended up. Complete awareness, a big theme, what's at stake, is just a more effective way of solving your problems, which can factor into big things and small things in the Star Wars story and our lives.
Yeah, that's great. I love phrasing it as complete awareness. I think that's a great umbrella for everything else going on in this episode, because there is the kind of straightforward plot mechanics, right, of Ahsoka is not seeing the big picture, and Tara Sanube is taking that patient step back and looking at it, you know, from above to figure out the big picture, so he can get literally both philosophically and literally from point A to point B in the direct, you know, quote unquote easy way. But there is also, you know, so there's all like situational awareness, there's emotional awareness, there's wisdom, yeah, information awareness, but there's also just a lot of, I think what makes this a little bit of, you know, justice for the elderly is there's lots of just great straightforward moments of Ahsoka not being completely aware of who Sanube is, of seeing these outward, like he's napping and he's supposed to be this great guy who's going to help me. He's slow. That's a problem. Not possibly a benefit. Like, you know, here he is helping me get my lightsaber back. He doesn't even have a lightsaber. Like, she doesn't articulate that. But I think we as the audience have that, like, okay, well, he's not a fighter anymore, right? So it's that lightsaber reveal, that saber cane reveal, I think really also goes to this great idea that you're talking about of complete awareness of this picture of Tara Sanube is old, slow, not super valuable to Ahsoka, to her current anxiety, her current problem. Yeah. And she's compassionate and respectful and all that. But he is so much more than she initially sees. That she is not completely aware of him at the beginning. And by the end, she is completely aware of him.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah, it builds wonderfully to that lightsaber reveal. Well said.
Yeah. I think completely aware is well said. Well said on you, my friend. Yeah, I think the thing that I really enjoyed this episode taking a closer look at it, because I think I've always really focused on the Tara Sanube side of it, of, you know, respect older people. They have the benefit of wisdom, and sometimes being slower and looking around to figure out how everything connects is actually the faster way to get things done. Ultimately, it's a little bit of a, you know, tortoise in the hare kind of story. But what I hadn't focused on before is what a good job the episode does of making that effective, because the contrast of what Ahsoka is going through. So I was really seeing it this time around is the wisdom of age versus just the angst and turmoil of youth. you know, on the surface, it is very much about, you know, fast versus slow. But I love that everything that's happening with Ahsoka, this is a growing episode for her. Yeah. This is, you know, one of the earlier episodes that's, you know, Anakin's in it for a beat, Yoda's in it for a beat, but this is truly Ahsoka's adventure, you know, with a new character. So throughout it, Ahsoka is really acting out of not only habits she's picked up from Anakin and from the battlefield, but just natural to youth. Fear of, you know, fear and shame of being caught having lost her lightsaber. Just that feeling of loss, that guilt and fear that something might happen with the lightsaber. Somebody might be harmed by it, and then she'll be responsible. Though that fear of loss and that personal shame immediately translating into anger in the way she talks to people and handles people. And even this ego of it feels like part of what her fear is that if other people realize that she has lost her lightsaber, they will think less of her, and she doesn't want that, you know, attack on her ego. And I mean ego really in the, not she's full of herself, but ego in that way that we all sort of like protect our core of, like, that line she has where she says, "This isn't happening." I feel that line in my bones, right? Of, you know, that feeling when something has gone wrong in such a way where it's not just, you'll be like, "Oh man, I'll be in trouble. My boss will yell at me. I'll get a parking ticket." It's that deeper, soulful, if people find this out, they'll question the validity of me as a human being. And she's just coming at it from that depth of pain, you know?
I love it. And file it into Ken Makes Weird Connections bucket number 9. One of my favorite movies is Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia, and John C. Reilly plays Officer Jim, a police officer who loses his gun and just has an absolute breakdown. And it's exactly what you're describing. And that's maybe played more serious. This is more whimsical because it's Star Wars, but it's the same connective thread of, it isn't just the act. You feel it's you that is lost, and the emotions start to spiral out. And I think it's strongly connected in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great connection. And it's a similar thing of the, you know, that sort of endowed object of a weapon that is a part of your identity and is your responsibility. And a lot of great stuff with that. I also like in showing her anger, you know, that moment where Harris Nubia is like, "What are you doing?" When she's just going to straight up punch Bonamu. But then he says the thing that we know she hates, because it's already happened at least twice in the Clone Wars, if not more times, of the, "You're too young to be a Jedi." Like, that's a button for her, right? She doesn't like being told that she doesn't look like a Jedi, or that she is too young or too small. That fear gets set up in the Clone Wars movie. So I thought that's great that, not only is it the really relatable, I lost this weapon, it's going to threaten my identity if I don't have it back. But then here's this fish guy just accidentally drilling down to the core of her fear of not being taken seriously and seen for who she is. And she throws him into a wall. So I love that we really saw what I'm calling like the angst of youth from Ahsoka. And then we get that contrast, and it pops more when Tara Sanube is acting out of, you know, knowledge and observation in the whole big picture. And I felt like the contrast popped in a couple of fun ways throughout the episode, obviously. But I love that the second half of the episode, for the most part, is this big chase, you know, and it's this incredibly cool action, great use of Coruscant in. But it's Ahsoka, like, literally running after one specific person thing obsessively. And it's just such a great contrast when she's like, literally, I'm running in whatever line that person makes me run, because I'm going after that person with the thing that I want.
Yeah.
And you have that contrast where Tara is just quietly, slowly figuring out the big picture, figuring out that things don't add up in what Iona Marcy is telling them, putting the tracker on her. And even in the music, as you're cutting back and forth, where it's like, you know, the huge, big action of the chase, and they'll cut back to Tara's quietly asking a question, you know, and you get that vibe change, you know?
It's played so well, so well for comedy, but you and I both are strong believers that comedy is a great way to communicate things of great purpose, and it's used very well here. And the ideas of quiet your mind, you're so anxious to find this pickpocket that your worry is equal to his, and you're clouded there. And this big theme of emotions clouding your choices, which I think we always need to say, it does not mean emotions are bad, and that's not necessarily what Star Wars is saying. And the Jedi aren't, though there's some bigger issues with Jedi and emotions. But I think Terra Sanuba has been around long enough to know the right way, wrong way to kind of break that down. Emotions are clouding your choices, but the information you need is often right in front of you. Slow down to see it. I'm saying real simple bumper sticker type of things there, but it's so effective in this episode. And it's so effective in our real life. Even now, even me this week, any stress going on. Gosh, just slow down. Just slow down, and that complete awareness will find you.
Yeah, yeah. I love that you point out that moment where Sanuba tells her to quiet her mind, because you can put together a great cut scene of all sorts of Jedi telling other Jedi to be patient, right? But this one is different, because it's specifically, it's not just that you're moving too fast, it's that your anxiety is greater than the person who should be anxious in this scenario. Is such a great reflection of that combination of, it's not just respect the older and the wiser. It's be aware of the angst and the impatience of youth.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I think for me, the other big idea that's threaded through this episode is kind of just, what is a lightsaber? You know, I think for me, like I said about the saber cane, I think that's a part of Ahsoka moving too fast and not seeing Terra Sanuba as anything except a frail, slow old person. But it's, you know, the saber cane itself is this reminder of, you know, not all lightsabers are the same. Not everything is as it appears. You know, we've got the double bladed lightsaber from Maul, but at this point in, you know, the Clone Wars, we're going to start to see different things. You're going to start to see the darksaber, but this is a really different lightsaber for, you know, on screen canon at the time, Star Wars.
Totally. And now I think one of my favorites. I've always enjoyed this, and I always know you enjoy it, but yeah, in terms of lightsabers, just ranking lightsabers just climbed up the charts. But yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, because it's, yeah. Anyway, I will
it
not
might be because
into...
I need one more, Joseph. Wow, wait, a cane? Oh, I need, let me get that.
Yeah, I think I've told you about the time that I was grievously injured doing children's theater. it sucked because I could not fully walk, but I got to have a cane, and that part was great.
Yeah.
And if there was a sword or a lightsaber in it, it would have been even better.
There you go.
So the saber cane, I think, is just a fun, you know, not everything is as it appears. Yeah. Remember, lightsabers are not all one and the same. But then, of course, the thread that's woven through this about the lightsabers, that it specifically recalls Obi-Wan's line to Anakin in Attack of the Clones. And we learn that Anakin has passed that on to Ahsoka of, this lightsaber is your life, which is just kind of some fun Star Wars canon of, you know, master to master handing that to apprentice. But then this episode really, I think, it does this great thing of reversing the logic of that philosophically. In it, the lightsaber isn't, to say the lightsaber is your life is to say it is an object meant to defend a Jedi's safety, which makes sense when you're a master trying to keep a Padawan safe, that they need to keep their lightsaber handy. But this really just flips it and says, remember, a lightsaber is not just about a Jedi's safety, but others. It's about protecting others, and it's about making sure no one is wounded by your weapon that you did not choose to wound, you know?
I love that tag, and Ahsoka at the end jumping into that episode of just, it's your life, but beat, it's also your responsibility. That was a wonderful statement too, a lesson learned. And I think that's definitely there.
Yeah, and I love that that Terra perceives that in Ahsoka and just gives her the assignment to puzzle out whether she's responsible if someone is killed with her blade or not. And I think Ahsoka certainly does learn from being around Terra as we go through the episode, like when he gives her the straightforward, like, your anxiety is masking your ability to sense other people's anxiety. But I feel like the big payoff of the episode is, you know, when she is on the train. She has, you know, caught up with Cassie, the Tyrellian Django jumper. Yeah. And all through this episode, even after she's kind of learned a beat, some beats from Tara Sanube, she's got that, you know, Anakin and Ahsoka on a mission. You know, what should we do? How about if we run across the bridge straight into the castle? Like, they've got, she's got that, I can fix everything by snarling and acting, you know? And there's this great beat where she just, she stops and she realizes that being assertive and aggressive while Cassie has the hostages is not going to be a way forward. And I think to me, that moment is really about that lightsaber of, it's in that moment, it's not about her getting the lightsaber back. It's about the lightsaber as responsibility and therefore a Jedi as responsibility. And it's, to me, it's just that moment where all those concerns of youth and ego melt away and she sees like, oh, it's my responsibility, not just my weapon. It's not just something that's been taken from me. It's something that I have responsibility for in this larger moral sense.
Yeah, it's out there now. It's out there. What a horrible feeling. And I love too that line. It was meta for the episode. He says, it's for you to puzzle out, right? And I couldn't understand that line. And so I was like, well, let me turn on the closed captions. And I couldn't figure that how to work that out on Disney Plus. And so here I was, old, trying to figure out new to get the answer from the advice from the old guy to the new kid. And I couldn't, it was a very funny moment. He finally figured it out. I was like, oh, puzzle. Oh, that's what he said.
You puzzled out the word puzzle.
And did I started to get angry. And I was like, I don't want it in Dutch. So there you go. Lesson learned. Thanks, Star Wars.
Remotes are a responsibility, Ken. did you figure out how to turn the captions on?
Yeah, I can get there. It's one of those things where like, oh, I did it, but I couldn't tell you how.
You just mash buttons. Just mash buttons and you'll get there. Any other sort of ideas or themes from this episode before we move on to the how they reflect the bigger story of Star Wars?
No, let's slide into the big picture.
Yeah, all right. Slide into the big picture. We always talk about how the ideas of a specific episode or arc of Clone Wars also reflect the larger storytelling, morality, perspective of Star Wars. What hit you in this episode?
So taking everything we talked about, I think this all, complete awareness and everything we're talking about, the emotions, and it all goes into these things for me here. Seeing all as an ally, and I connect this to one of the moments that we've been talking about a lot recently. I think it's come up, Leia and Wicket, and Leia looking at this little teddy bear, fearful, and providing him a treat, and that gets that leads to the relationship that saves the galaxy. it's Leia having some complete awareness in that moment for me, and how all of that can you know, is reflected in what you're describing, I think, with Ahsoka and how, you know, it's played when she first meets Sanube. And it's really funny and it's almost sitcom-y and yeah, well, I'm taking a nap. Well, yeah. And, you know, you could almost not blame her from the start, but that's the lesson there, and almost be seen as an ally in the bigger Star Wars picture. And then to me, Sanube also represents a pure form of the Jedi way. And that's often in debate, but Ahsoka's learning, you know, you mentioned this in one of the first big Ahsoka episodes, solo episodes with her. And to me, she's learning what it means to be a Jedi at this point. And yeah, I know where she ends up and whether that term can describe her, we don't know. But it's about what's in her heart. And there's a lot about this episode that is not wanting to be a hero, but going actually out to be one. A little bit of Yoda, wars not make one great, or, you know, Luke's looking for a great warrior and there's this little green goblin stealing his food and what's there. And there's some connection to me in this one where Sanube's kind of giving you the complete picture. He's still a powerful warrior if he needs to be, but that's not his drive. It's not his purpose. And Ahsoka, there's a little bit out of pure of heart, but also out of anxiety and all the things we're talking about, wants to go be the hero. You described it wonderfully as a straight line, just chasing what is in front of her, not seeing the complete picture. And that's not necessarily what a hero is, at least for the Jedi. So I love that. And a lot of time, episode talks a lot about people's choices, which is obviously big in Star Wars.
Yeah, this is all great stuff. And I love with Ahsoka's energy of, it's my lightsaber, it's forward movement. Whoever I'm encountering is, you know, not somebody who might give me the information if I ask. There's somebody who's trying to hoodwink me or attack me. And some of that, I think, is really points to what is it for these Padawans to be raised in a war? Like, there's the great stuff in the Brain Invaders episode where Ahsoka and Barriss are reflecting on the Jedi's involvement in the war. And Ahsoka is very much aware that Anakin has all this energy from the war. But I think this is a great way to reflect, like, yeah, of course Ahsoka has her defenses up. She spends most of her time being shot at and trying to keep her clones alive, right? So I think there's just some good connective tissue to, we know that she is a compassionate, thoughtful, resourceful young Padawan, but it's understandable that she'd be like, of course everyone I run into is a problem to be bulldozed.
Yeah,
and it's great for Tara to be able to go like, well, it's, I understand that's probably how you feel being constantly at war, but that's not the way it always is. So that was big for me. I think just Star Wars plays with the idea of balance so much and in so many different ways. And I really liked just the actual motivation from Tara Sanube about why he's going on the mission at all. So, you know, he's just napping. It can help out this Padawan because it is his area of expertise, and he does. And then, you know, he got that great comedy. She's like, great, Gramps, I'm going to run fast now. And he's like, no, I'm going to be slow with you. Great comedy. We'll talk about that. Yeah. But then what he specifically says of why he's there is, I haven't been on assignment in years. And if you don't slow down, you're not going to find what you're looking for. Yeah. So, you know, there is, you know, a version of a story like this where there isn't balance, where it's the elderly person or older person who just wants to show what they know or thinks that the young person won't do it right. So they're going to come with them. And I love to your point of showing Tara as this balanced, calm Jedi of like, I need to get out and about. I need to, even though I'm older, I need to refresh myself of what it is to be young and to have that responsibility and to be out on an assignment. And I also know from my wisdom that you are too caught up in your emotions and anxiety to actually accomplish what you need to. So you know what, young one? This will be good for both of us. Balance.
Excellent, excellent point of kind of, I don't want to say the flip side of some of the stuff we've been talking about, but going to the, you know, an older generation knowing the importance of passing it on, which does factor into the end of this episode, right? But yeah, you're right. He could have just given the information and do it myself. And I, you know, at times when I fail as either a leader or a producer or something like that in my past, it's because I'm like, let me just do it. No one wins. No one wins, you know? It's just a symbiotic circle of experience and education. So
yeah. I love that you're saying that, because that was the other big thing that really spoke to me, that, you know, Star Wars is one of the things to me that it is about is storytelling. And it is always in the front of my mind that, you know, Star Wars starts like a fairy tale of, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. The importance of storytelling and passing on what you have learned is so embedded in it that I like that it's just explicit in this episode where, you know, there's almost this energy where, you know, where Tara's like, well, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. And there's almost this energy like, you know, he's going to ask Ahsoka to, you know, play weird space bingo with him or something. And she's going to roll her eyes. Right. And it's so great that he's like, I'm going to ask you to share what you learned and pass on what you have learned. And it gives it such a great fun and meaningful ending. And it's another moment for, you know, peaceful, happy Yoda to shine. If he sees Ahsoka coming in, like, oh, the Padawan has a lesson. And just in terms of like, there's that sort of this great circle of storytelling in Star Wars that this story ends with Ahsoka telling the story of the story we just saw. But it's also really connects to things like The Last Jedi, where this is a story of Ahsoka is turning her failure into a success, into a learning opportunity, and not being afraid of her failure like she was at the beginning of being unable to share this with Anakin. But now she can share this, and what had been a fear and a failure has, you know, peace and purpose to it.
Emotional canon alert. Emotional canon alert.
Love it. Love it. Final thing for me is just, you know, going on War Watch, you brought this up of the narrator this time, the newsreel, Didn't give us a bunch of updates on what the actual state of the war is, but I think really repeated one of these really important things to the general story of Star Wars, that war creates the opportunity for crime, and that's what sets up this episode is arms dealers, you know, buying weapons on the black market and selling them to Republic enemies. Is, you know, it's a great thing to center us on. You know, the lightsaber is also a weapon that is getting into the wrong hands, but it's also just that reminder that the Clone Wars aren't just the war. They are on purpose from the Sith, a, you know, disintegration of the peace and kind of just guardrails of society that the Republic and the Jedi have set up, and they're creating the opportunity for more crime that isn't even about some battle on Geonosis.
Yes, which goes back to my original point. It's easy, but it's not simple for the criminal underworld. I don't know. Yeah, but it's great. No, it's there. No, jokes aside, it is part of the bigger picture and the bigger question of, you know, it's sometimes you do need to go to war, but the unintended or intended consequences need to be looked at as well. And that's what's going on in the backdrop here.
That's right. Even literally, we'll get to that. But now I think we're going to, unless you have anything else, do you have any other big picture ideas you want to talk about?
Oh, no. Absolutely. Let's. This is. We could go for a long time on the joys of watching Sanube, but
we'll get on to some more joys of Sanube in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
And we are back to finish our discussion of the Clone Wars episode Lightsaber Lost. We're going to talk about action moments. Ken, did you have a favorite action moment or two or three in this episode?
Well, I'll tell you, taking a nap is an action to me, so it's all that. Look, it's hard not to just say the chase, because it's pretty darn cool. You mentioned it's a lot of second half or maybe just all the third act of this little story here. But I'll highlight some of the stuff. There's the initial one, the chase kind of begins. The slide out of the apartment by Cassie and Ahsoka is pretty cool. And Ahsoka's got some great parkour stuff going on. I love that one there as well. That's a good starting point for me.
Yeah, I think for me, I wrote that one down too. And I think I really gravitated to it for a couple reasons of it really makes the most of Coruscant, you know, mm-hmm. that we saw bits and pieces of this part of Coruscant in Attack of the Clones. We've seen bits and pieces in the Clone Wars, but this is kind of like the Zillow Beast episode two of really mm-hmm. getting to enjoy yeah. this idea that they live in this huge space art deco city. And it was just really effective in the way that it was shot because a lot of the episode had been in kind of tight alleys, tight apartments, shadows. And then suddenly we pull back and see how teeny tiny these characters are compared to how incredibly huge the buildings are in Coruscant. And I think that made it sort of thrilling of it. It was the scale suddenly changed.
Finding more scale in something that's already pretty large. I love that there. Good stuff. Good use of when you're writing, you know, action and everything, you know, it just good use of surroundings, good use of characters in that. It's a great little sequence.
Yeah. So for you, what other action moments popped out?
I'll say this. I think Sanube putting a tracking device on I think that's an action. That was very smart action.
Yes.
And I love the way he did it because I think even the first time I was watching it on the treadmill, I missed it. My mind was clouded and I was like, oh, that's right. He did put that on there. So I like that one there.
Yeah. And I like that he's like, well, I'm going out on an adventure. Better pack up tracking devices. He's just got that on him. He's ready. Yeah. Yeah, a couple others for me is kind of a non-action action moment right at the beginning. I really liked setting the tone by Anakin going, wait out here, and you just hear the lightsaber and the blasters and then the screaming and the stampede. It's just like, that's what happens when Anakin just, you know, orders a sandwich. Just like, that's Anakin. You don't even see it. It's just the chaos, you know?
And such a reminder that this isn't his episode. In a fun way.
Yes.
It's like, don't worry about it. He just went in there and did what he did.
Yeah, you know what he did. You've seen enough Anakin. You know how that generally tracked, you know. That was really great. Yeah. I want to talk about the full context of what Palpatine actually said when we talk about canon connections. But just for an action beat, I think I love that Coruscant always has this... there's always ads, you know, there's always a reminder that this is, you know, part of what Coruscant and what the core is this, you know, capitalist society similar to ours. And that image of Anakin, or not Anakin, Ahsoka sliding down Palpatine's huge propaganda face, and then, you know, that the image of Palpatine literally disrupting society because it is falling into the traffic, and that great shot of those all the air cars zipping at her.
I love it. Carson's got a lot of just any big city vibe, right? New York and everything. But it reminds me of just some of those wonderful shots. I've never been to Tokyo, but I just, you see Tokyo, it's just lights and shining and sounds and things going on that you maybe can be overwhelming. And I love every time you're kind of in the middle of it.
Yeah, just, yeah, absolutely bustling. Everybody's on the go. Everybody's got their own thing. Everybody's got to go, which helps with the episode as well. Mm-hmm. For me, the other huge one is that Saber Kane reveal. Yeah. You know, it has a lot of fun meaning, but also if we're talking about action moments, it's just cool the way they do that. That the door opens and he is looking, you know, a little bit kind of up at her, and it's like it's a little bit of like, oh, is Tara Sanubi a badass? It's shot so well, and then the fact that it's the white blade and this is what I've always loved about it, that, yeah, it's a sword cane is a fun thing that, you know, pops up in reality and in fiction of a specific era. You know, I've played more than one Call of Cthulhu campaign set in the 1920s where some dapper Dan has a saber cane, a sword cane. So the saber cane is cool by itself, but I love it. Even extends the, you know, don't just judge things by their appearance when you're like, oh, it reveals a lightsaber, so watch out for that. Also, remember, he can just hit you in the head with the cane itself.
Oh, yeah. And for the record, I'm a Dapper Dan man. I love the shot. Love the it was really well directed, and just everything about that scene. You know, it's hard to, you know, it's easy to overlook animation needing to be directed, but it was a great sequence.
Yeah, just the utter economy of it. Of I know exactly what I'm doing. It's even, you know, he lets the hostages pass before he does anything. And then he just does the great twist motion and then the clobber with the base, which is just a really great way to get around. Like sometimes when Jedi are like, well, my main weapon is a lightsaber and I need to stop them, but I don't want to cut anything off. And he's like, I got it. Hit him in the head with the base of your cane.
Lightsaber cane should be standard just across the department there. I think all of them. Everyone should have.
I really should. Any other action moments for you?
One little one I noted down, there's a little moment there where Ahsoka breaks the pipe with the Force, sending Cassie falling. And I know, reminiscent of Vader and Empire Strikes Back or something like that. And not that Ahsoka's dancing with the dark side there, but she's trying to get a job done. But I don't know, there could be more to it. But I just love that little moment.
Yeah, I think that's great because I do like it in episodes like this where, okay, you can see where Cassie's managing to stay ahead of Ahsoka, but she still has the Force. So I'm glad that there was a moment there where she did manage to actually use the Force for a momentary advantage.
Yeah, totally.
Let's move on then to moments of comedy, whimsy, and weirdness. There were plenty of those for me. Yeah. What did you go to? What were some favorite moments for you?
Yeah, gosh, there's a lot of little moments here. I'll start with, you know, you and I aren't fans of puns. I don't think they're comedy. I think they're party tricks, as I say many times. But Sanube's a fishy pun. Like, all right, I'll allow that. I think that was cute. I think that was funny.
You know what really worked for me on that is that the comedy to me is not the pun that he made. It is Ahsoka trying to pretend to be amused and failing utterly. It is her disdain. It's one of the building blocks of like this, the napping pun guy is going to help me.
Oh, I just relate to it so much. I despise puns. I just despise them. And anytime I hear them, I have to kind of be like, hey, you did. Yep. You did that. That was the thing you did. I feel you, Ahsoka, but I love right here.
It works well. Yeah. And I mean, puns are great, big, fun conversation. And I think this one was deployed well on both sides. A couple of the Sanube ones, I was just resting my eyes. I think just a great sort of let's establish what we're doing. He's older and people are not going to take him seriously. I was just resting my eyes. The one that really cracked me up is when Ahsoka is being like very technical of like, you know, he's aquatic species from one of the water worlds.
Yeah.
And then when Tara finds him, he's like, he's a Petrolian. That's a fish guy.
Yeah, yeah. Like see, I was right. Got it? Did you get it when I said fishy? It's right.
That's a fish guy. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that one in particular, because I think that is one of those lines, I think, for some fans where, you know, we all know that Admiral Ackbar is a fish guy, right? I mean, his species is called Mon Calamari, right?
He's an appetizer, yeah.
So we know that. The action figures, you know, back in the day, walrus man, squid face, you know, not subtle, their animal connection.
Yeah.
Does it bother you when someone inside Star Wars points out that a species looks like an animal?
I think there may have been a part of me back in the day that might have. Not that I never Star Wars was, I didn't want it to always be super serious. I wasn't always a dark and gritty guy, but you know, I was a fan of Dark Knight back in the day. So I think I wanted a little bit of that. So that back in that era, this might've been like, I don't know, but I, you know, with Riff Tamson, I want people to yell at him. You're a shark. Why are you a shark? So I guess maybe I'm okay.
That's a shark guy.
That's a shark.
Look in the mirror. Look in the water mirror, Riff Tamson. You're a shark guy. Yeah, I feel the same way. I think there was probably a moment where I was like, I know I want the realism of the galaxy to be like, but now I just kind of like that. Aquatic species from water planets exist, but then also so do actual fish.
Yeah, yeah.
So why wouldn't somebody like Tara Snoobe go, oh, yeah, he's a fish guy.
Yeah.
Speaking of fish guy, I also wanted to ask you about Bonamu. I liked his line of, I almost kill myself with that thing. Partially just because there's that weird extra noise added. But I also like that joke of, again, something that we've joked about in reality making its way into Star Wars. Like, yeah, if you're not trained with a lightsaber, they are deadly.
Well, yeah, no. So I love that moment. It's a weird, quirky, prequel-like character. And I can get for that, but also one of my other favorite moments is when Cassie says that she has a lightsaber and she could, how does this work? And I'm like, you press the button. Like, can you not figure it? I mean, maybe you need to be in tune with the weapon. I can respect that philosophical conversation there. Maybe even some logistics, but I was like, you can't figure that one out. Like, and then, it flashes me to your guy there going, looking at, you know, pointing at his eye, going, or like a porg on Octo. Right? Like, how does this work? It's pretty funny. Lightsaber comedy, I guess, works.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it absolutely worked for me. So I was happy to see some good lightsaber comedy action. What are some other lines for you that you enjoyed?
So I love this beat when Tara Snoobe and Ahsoka are out in the streets. They're on the case, and they are looking for their guy when they go meet a Quarren there at the little food stand.
Yeah,
and I love when Ahsoka. Now look, Ahsoka's a fully capable Jedi, a warrior when she needs to be. I love Ahsoka, but I love this little moment of it's not false bravado, but she's trying to play a street tough, and I love that she's like, hey, we're looking to buy a lightsaber. It's a really funny, sweet moment for me, and love the whole sequence there.
Yeah, no, that was great. I really love that. And I love that it felt like that Quarren and his power maybe going to pull out a weapon or fight. And then as soon as they just put a little pressure on them, like, oh, no, sorry. Yeah, we'll give you the information.
And that Quarren, now you can connect. It reminds me a lot of Mandalorian season 2, episode 3, right? When Bryce Dallas Howard's episode, when the Quarren is going to, I'll take you fishing.
Yeah, and he's serving a steaming bowl of something that might have just come out of a pump in the ceiling.
Look.
A couple others for me. I really love, especially because later in the episode, when Tara Snoobe has been resourceful enough to borrow the speeder from the police droid, and he finds Ahsoka, who is despondent, and gets her on the speeder, and then he's just slow driving in the traffic.
Yeah.
And Ahsoka is so upset, and everybody is zipping around him. It's so funny.
He's got some classic honking comedy, and it's some putty. I think it's puttering along. It's great. It's great.
Yep. And there's that hint of, in that beat of like, is he doing that for a tactical reason? Like he's being slow other places, or is he this a little bit more that real world comedy? Like, no, I just feel this is the proper speed to be driving.
Turn indicator going on for three blocks. That would have been great. I also love Sanube dropping that Jedi mind trick like it ain't no thing on the Rodian. I don't even know if he needed it, but he just did it because he could.
And it seems pretty powerful since the Rodian sticks their whole head out of the window, right?
Yeah. It's almost like Sanube was like, I haven't done that in a long time. That was
need to be back in the field, right? Yeah. The final one for me is at the end there when he's kind of trying to playfully chastise Iona and saying, you know, I'm sure you didn't mean to be rude running off like that from your home. And she says, I have nothing to say to you, Jedi. And then he almost seems just a little hurt. And he's like, well, perhaps you meant to be a little rude.
he's a sassy one. One of my final moment is he actually says the line, I see you've learned patience, young one, to Ahsoka. And the shot on Ahsoka, she has clearly not learned patience in that moment.
Yeah, I think this is so great that for me, the comedy of this episode is really a part of the point. We always look at comedy moments because, you know, comedy is important to Star Wars. I think it's, you know, from watching any number of interviews, it is truly important to Lucas, who you know, really had his hands in the dirt making these. But this particular episode, the comedy isn't just a fun part of the stew. It's like one of the main ingredients that it's necessary to show us who Tara Sanube is, to have a sense of these differences between youth and age. They're natural and we can learn from them and have fun with them, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Good one. Good point.
Excellent. Let's move on then. Did you have any others?
No. Great, great, funny little moments all the way through. I mean, we lacked a battle droid being sad moment, but we'll get those.
I almost wish that we just cut to one randomly and had nothing to do with anything else. And just like in somewhere else in the galaxy, Grievous is kicking a battle droid over a ledge.
Yeah.
Why? Let's move on to canon lore connections to other stories. I like that we just had a past tense Ahsoka saying, I had a bad feeling about him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it turned out not to be true. I was really interested in the connection that, you know, Ahsoka doesn't want to confide in Anakin and that she lost her saber. And I think that's really relatable, right? Because even though Anakin cares about her and would probably ultimately help her and guide her, he would at first just be, he would yell at her, right? And she would, and even if he didn't yell at her, if she got Anakin at his most patient, he would sigh and be disappointed in her, right? So the fact then that she can side in Jocasta Nu and she chooses to go to the library, it seems like not only to use the archives and try to find it, but to find somebody she does feel comfortable confiding in. I thought that it was great that it was Jocasta Nu. It builds on this other episode in the Clone Wars where Ahsoka thinks the library is a slow, boring place to be, and she's put there basically for punishment because she was over aggressive in the field. And that's even building on Ahsoka has learned that the library, the archives are not a boring place, and Jocasta Nu is not a weird person. She's a person to be trusted.
I think it's a wonderful connection. I love it. You're so right. I mean, to the difference now in Acosta's Jocasta Nu is now an ally. So, you know, some of that complete awareness is there in Ahsoka. She'll get the bigger picture.
Yeah. And I always like seeing Jocasta Nu, always one of my favorite parts of Attack of the Clones. I thought it was just a fun little detail that we saw Brea Tanaka, one of the Tanaka sisters, on the list of criminals. They're like, oh, they've been up to crime for a good long time.
Long time.
Long time. Age. They're criminals who age well.
Yeah.
We talked about the Quarren serving the bowl of something, and because that definitely made me think of Mandalorian. I think this might be the first time we're seeing these Coruscant police droids. I could be wrong about that. Mm-hmm. It is hard to keep track of it all. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you how you felt about the police droids. To me, they have this very different design for Star Wars. They aren't trying to look cool in any sort of stand. They're not trying to look badass in any way, right? They are connected a little bit more to the sort of the Art Deco and this influence that the Clone Wars really, it's hinted at in screen other places, but the Clone Wars is really interested in bringing this other genre of early cinema, which is, you know, that sort of silent comedy 20s, 30s aesthetic. Mm-hmm. They're wearing robot versions of the Keystone Cops hats, you know?
Yeah.
And I was really curious to hear what your opinion of that aesthetic was.
You were describing the reasons to love it and to connect it to the bigger picture. And therefore I come down on it positively, but I definitely remember it's seen it back in the day and the other episodes where they're more prominent and not liking it as much for not for any big reason. But I think something to me about it's so interesting, and this episode kind of doesn't know if, I don't know if it deals with it, but I kind of see that that's the Jedi's job. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, especially back in the day, I was like, why do they have the police? That's what the Jedi are supposed to do, right? Aren't they supposed to go around? But realistically, that's not. So I think I've come around on it in a way. And it's something weird. I don't even in Mandalorian. Season one, episode six, right? It's where you got Bill Burr and the team breaking everyone out of jail, and you got the security droids of the New Republic. I'm not a huge fan of those. I don't know. I want humans when I can get, or you know, aliens as well, and Quorin and whoever.
Organics.
Thank you. Fishy men. So I think I have a little bit of Obi-Wan in me, where I get a little droids.
Well, I love that you bring that up, because that is a great tension of Star Wars. Is, you know, there's a question mark in the air when you get droids. So sometimes you're going to get like the battle droids, the sort of rigid, you know, characters who don't understand anything or fumble about. And then sometimes you're going to get the R2s, you know, who are intuitive and incredibly on the ball. And like when a droid walks in, you don't know which you're getting.
Yeah. And you know, obviously I love droids. I love specific characters, and it's just, I always laugh. I just, over the years, I think it was L3 that really put it in my face where I'm like, I don't know if I agree. Oh, wait, what does that make me? What do I think about droids? And so I'm glad you mentioned it. It's something back in the day when this episode aired, or when the Clone Wars was going on, that I did think about. But I think tying into the aesthetic, I think it's a very smart and a correct observation about why they're there.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly the choice, whether or not it works for people. And I think when I watch it, it's like, oh, you know, it is a part of the legacy of the prequels, of a little bit more silly influence than, for lack of a better term, I'll call badass influence. But I've come to really appreciate the palette of Star Wars being so much bigger.
Yeah. Plus, you know, I saw RoboCop back in the day. I don't know if I like I don't trust it. Careful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want these like we are the police droids, here are 82 armaments.
That would be comply. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah, that would be a different these droids really have the vibe of like, we show up at minor traffic accidents, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, we are not hunter droids. I also wanted to ask you about, so Cassie Cryer is described as a Torellian Jango jumper, which is like, oh wow, yeah, that's a cool name, that's a cool title. And I was like, wait a minute, Jango is a did you just hear it? Did you just accept Torellian Jango jumper, or were you weirded out that it was like uses the name Jango?
I paused, but then it made me think that, did you know Jango get that name from, you know, was he, his parents were like, we met on at a Jango jumping festival or something like that.
Way so many kids were named the Charleston. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. The boot scoop boogies. It didn't give me great pause, but definitely think about it. And Jamie King does a great job voicing her, by the way. We should shout her out. Does that. And I love the design of the character. So, but yeah, it's one of those, you can't help but think that. Like, that's a conscious decision, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It just got a great, you know, I think it's one of those great tip of the iceberg Star Wars storytelling things of, you know, I do like it when the Jedi are not underpowered, and it made sense to me that for somebody to be able to escape Ahsoka, that they are a specific species or you know, profession, that this is exactly what they are good at. I thought that was really cool.
And I just, go ahead.
No, I just got that information across in a really quick, easy way.
Love it. I also just unfortunately went down a Trillion Jango Jumper wormhole. The eighth brother, the Inquisitors, he's a Trillion Jango Jumper.
Well, good for him. That's great. Yeah.
I'm going to back out here. I'm going to end up going down it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. There we go. Eighth brother.
This is the first appearance of them is this episode.
Yeah. Trillion Jango Jumper. All right. Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing those connections when I rewatch those, that episode. Yeah. All right. So, the last big canon thing to discuss is this Palpatine speech. I remember previous times of watching this, really enjoying just the image, the idea of this image that Ahsoka and the galaxy have no idea that, you know, every time that this guy is on screen, he is, you know, whispering poison in people's ears. And I always just kind of appreciated that. And that idea of he's just like, he's omnipresent. You can't get away from him. Yeah. But this is the first time I watch the episodes with the closed caption, so I can, you know, quickly and easily write down things like Trillion Jango Jumper.
Oh, you figured it out. Okay. You got the
remote. I don't mean to rub it in. there were some adventures, and there were some naughty words back in the day before I figured it out. But yeah, so I always watch it with the captions on, and it was the actual what he's actually saying. The volume is relatively low, and it's easy to just be caught up in, you know, is Ahsoka going to fall? Is she going to get hit by the cars? But it was so great. I took all this time to write down everything that he said, and then I saw that Filoni's behind the scenes is all about this speech. So that's great. Do you mind if I just read what he actually says?
I would love it. I think it's a big part of a small part of this episode, but a big one.
Yeah. So here's what we get to hear Palpatine saying, broadcast out to all of Coruscant. I would imagine it is either a planned speech, or maybe he is in the Senate. He is saying, I have no doubt that the Jedi are doing their very best to ensure the safety of every citizen in the Republic. The accusation that the Jedi created the Clone War to give themselves more power over the government is absurd, and I will not stand for it. And then we cut away, and he is finishing saying something else. By ending Count Dooku and his droid army. To support the Jedi's efforts in the war, I ask the Senate to pass these new laws giving more jurisdiction. And then ... We don't know what he says next, but the little bit he says a lot. Ken, how did this impact you? Did you go back and listen to pick all these details out?
Yeah, that, and then you never know what you're going to get with the Filoni featurette, like you've been saying too, where sometimes it's silliness and other times it's real important. And this is one of those ones that really just kind of confirmed it. I'm glad you wrote that down. And look, I got to say this carefully. It's part of Palpatine's genius. Not rooting for this guy. But his speech by defending the Jedi, claim they're not starting the war. And then by Revenge of the Sith, he's using that knowledge that's been out there. You know, it's misinformation, and we talk often. We're in a real world age of misinformation. So for him to use that, it's truly him being the Phantom Menace. It connects to everything. It's a small moment, but the fact that it's not wasted, and that Dave talked about that in that featurette of just like, no, if we're going to do this, let's make sure it moves that part of the story forward. And so it's a reminder that the big picture is always going on in these episodes.
Yeah, it was great. I didn't know until I wrote all this down, was excited to talk about it, and then I watched that featurette, and it was great to hear that, you know, that Filoni really chose to put this in, went about writing it himself, and it's a good reminder of me appreciating, which I, you know, didn't really know for some of the time that I first watched Clone Wars, how much Filoni was just sort of an all-in do cosplay to go see the movie, all-in prequel fan.
Yeah.
Who really got the big picture story, understood the complexity and the nuance and the richness of the big picture story, and then is on both. He is both, you know, one of the creators at this point, and also still a fan going, look, that's what these movies are about. I'm supporting these big picture ideas in these little ways is really, really cool.
Absolutely. It's just, yeah, it's really effective.
Yeah. And then I guess for me, just to briefly address, you know, what is actually going on here. I was so jazzed even before I heard him talking about it, because this supports some of the things that I'm really interested in keeping tabs on as we discuss the Clone Wars. You know, there can be so many great and fun fan discussions about, you know, well, were the Jedi right to be in the war? Did the Separatists have a point? You know, was the Republic really evil? All these things of like, there's just, you always have to pull back on all those conversations and go, it was all manipulated by Darth Sidious with lies and anger and greed for his own end. And this is one of those beats that just very, very concrete reminder of that. And then what you're saying about the Phantom Menace, this idea that this is even more subtle misinformation than some of the misinformation that we have in the real world right now, where just, you know, it lies or things with absolutely no evidence are being pumped out into the world. And he is setting the seeds for like, look, I am introducing this idea. Allegedly, some people think the Jedi are taking over, want to take over, but I am, of course, against that. So he gives himself even more validity when he's like, you know what? I was wrong. These alleged people who allegedly whispered this thing, turns out they were right. Yeah. And then the other big thing for me is it is there in Revenge of the Sith, but it can be easy to overlook that a big part of this story, a big part of how Palpatine manipulates the Jedi, is they don't want power. Yeah. They have the power that they have as Jedi, and they want to use that in a selfless way. They don't want to take more power. They don't want to be in charge of the government. And that is one of the things that holds them back from finding Palpatine. You know, and Palpatine gets a really push on that nerve of, even before they know that I'm a Sith, I'm going to keep making the government a little worse, and it's going to tie them in knots because they know that they should stop that. But to do that risks this great important thing to them to not grab for more power. So the fact that it's not just a manipulation to set him up, it is absolutely finding this incredible sore spot for the Jedi in just twisting and twisting the knife.
Yeah, well said. You almost expect him to be at one point saying, like, the Jedi, you know, they don't want power. I mean, I think it's weird they're generals. I understand. They don't want, you know, that just starts you doubting what you think you know, I guess.
Yep. Yep, and as Filoni says in the behind the scenes, such a great support to the manipulation that Palpatine does of Anakin in the opera box in Revenge of the Sith. You know, you had such a great conversation breaking that scene down, and it is so important that that's where his argument starts. Is of course the Jedi want power; they're no different than the Sith, and that's a lie, you know. If the Jedi were okay with grabbing power more, they might have been able to stop him, but they don't want more power. Liar. All right. Anything else on that you wanted to discuss?
None of that. One other little connection here that I did want to talk about is I love it. It's a little thing of Ahsoka getting a bit of that ground level knowledge on the planet ahead of season 7.
Mm.
So it's probably prevalent through a lot of episodes, but this one, it really stood out to me. And also this moment where she sees the rescued Twi'leks. That's why we do what we do type of vibe that she kind of sees there. And I love kind of connecting that all up and looking towards what's coming with her in season 5 and 6 and 7.
That's a great connection. Yeah. Cause it's, these are just people trying to get from point A to point B on the train going about their life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything coming with Trace and Rafa, and just kind of, you know, not that she has intimate knowledge of everything to do, but even going when she, you know, leads a Jedi Order and runs into Ventress and everything, just kind of being down here. She's going to spend some quality time down in these parts of course. This is one of the first big introductions to it.
Yeah, that's absolutely great. Anything that you disliked or questioned in this episode?
I mean, no. No. One, I'm telling you, we're going to get to Riff Tamson and we'll talk about it. We'll also see where I am now in my life when I get to those episodes. I don't know if I'm in the same spot I was in 2010. So
yeah, you might love Shark Guys.
He's a shark guy.
I think when I first saw the episode, you know, I loved it and I wasn't sure about Yoni's design. I was definitely kind of leaning into that sort of that long stretched out figure that we get a lot of in the prequel era. But at this point, I've just so accepted that is a part of the design aesthetic of the prequel era. And now all of Star Wars, those kind of characters pop up all the time that I actually like. The weird side blinking eyes is really fun and weird.
Totally.
Is there anything that we have not talked about that you wanted to touch on?
No, definitely got to the Palpatine of it all. I love the little connections, the pass on what you've learned. The lightsaber is your life. And you mentioned Filoni just being such a prequelist. We need to get him one of the t-shirts that are still out there on T-Bone. I just love, again, we talked about it a lot, but just these episodes are just a couple years after Revenge of the Sith and... the conversation around the prequels was not the same that it is now. Not that it's always warm and fuzzy nowadays. And I just love that this is connecting a lot of the big Star Wars things to those movies in an era where people weren't sure about them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does a great job of that. Two little things for me. I was entertained that we're watching it in the chronological order. So that means some of the fun images that we saw in the newsreel intro of Aurra Sing and Cad Bane technically haven't happened yet in our chronological viewing.
Yeah.
So that was like a force flash of the future for us. And then I just wanted to shout out the voice actor who portrayed Tara Sanube. Really great job, Gregory Baldwin. He has had, looks like he had a long career in theater, which makes sense with such a resonant and malleable voice. He's been in a bunch of different shows and video games, including Avatar and BioShock. He played the main villain in the first BioShock, which has one of the iconic lines of video games to me. And then he also, strangely, he was in Hail Caesar with young Han Solo. Alden Aaron, right? Yeah. So good job. Good job. Next time I watch Hail Caesar, I will watch out for Tara Sanube. Moving on to one of our final questions here. If you could have an action figure of any character from this episode, who do you want?
So there is a Tara Sanube, right? We know that.
I am double checking. I don't think there is.
Is there not a Tara Sanube figure? I thought there was.
I'm Googling and I am not seeing. And they, by this point, all of my various algorithms are incredibly used to me Googling. character name, action figure.
That's just a tragedy if there isn't. So I guess that's what we need. Yeah, I'm seeing most of them as customs.
Yeah, I think they're customs.
That's so silly.
Right? Yeah, other randos show up. Yeah. Taking out my anger.
I swore we had a conversation about that figure, but so it's just got to be that. But I was even going to break it down into a playset with a speeder, one of the ones that you kind of pull back and it zips across your kitchen floor. But this one just zips and just do 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 just takes its time getting across.
Oh, I really love that. I think Tara Sanube is for sure the action figure I need. I would take just a great, solid Tara Sanube from this episode with Saber Kane. But what I really want is they sometimes do those evolution of packs. I want an evolution of Tara Sanube pack. I want to see him when he is a young Padawan and then in his full Jedi Knight days and maybe in some High Republic gear. I want like seven action figures. I want to see him in a Jedi cold environment outfit, Jedi training outfit. Just give me all the Tara Sanubes.
All the Tara Sanubes. And yeah, we need to be able to get that Saber Kane over at Galaxy's Edge. I mean, they just there's a lot going on.
There's a lot that we need and a lot that we want. One of the things that we need and want and are excited for is to watch these next episodes of the Clone Wars. Next up, we are going to be talking Season 2, Episodes 12, 13, and 14. That is the great big Mandalore arc and the introduction of Satine. Those episodes I'm really happy to revisit. But man, it's going to be even more fun and different to revisit them now in the context of the Mandalorian show, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's big stuff. I better clear a Sunday afternoon and grab a notepad.
Yes, that is right. We will take it slow like Terrence Anube. Ken, what should the moral of this episode of our podcast be?
Well, to have a finely tuned, well-oiled Star Wars podcast, all it takes is an entire lifetime of being a Star Wars fan. That's all it takes.
However long that lifetime is, yes, an entire lifetime.
Just dump all of it into it. Yeah.
That is a great moral. Do you want to tell people where they can find us?
Absolutely. We are the Force Center podcast feed. This is the Clone Wars Report on that feed. And we are on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. You can like our Facebook page at Force Center Podcast. We have merch, including our prequelist t-shirt design. It is on there at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can also get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. Try one out, support the show, and you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. You can follow me at Cad Knapsack or go to my website, cadknapsack.com, to find all the things I do, including hang out with the good folks over at the Good People Association at thegpa.fun. Joseph, what do you got?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all my other comedy adventures. I got some comedy albums on there, links to my other podcast, Obsessed. I know that we've got some overlap of Star Wars fans and MCU fans. This week, the episode of my podcast, Obsessed, is my wife and I truly obsessing over WandaVision. So if you're interested in that, you can check that out. Link on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for all the fish guys out there, and of course, for Tara Sanube, this has been the Clone Wars Report.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.